Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Spiritual Conversations with your host, Drake Miller. I am very thankful to be back for this particular episode. I've been thinking about this episode for about 2 weeks now. I have really wrestled with what I wanted to say, how I wanted to say it. So I am very excited for this one, very eager to get into the content for today. And so before I do, I just want to say, I hope you have had a blessed week and weekend. I know I have. We have been out enjoying the wonderful scenery in Chattanooga, Tennessee. It's just a beautiful area. We have watched sunrises and sunsets. We've seen gorgeous water areas where you can just really enjoy God's creation. I encourage you to do that if you haven't. And if you don't have an area where you can, make the trip. It is certainly worth it if that is something that you can do. And wherever you're at, wherever you may find yourself, I hope you have been able to enjoy the presence of God and enjoy time with friends and family. Because I will say what I normally do, people need people. It's just a truth. It really is. It is just the truth that stands the test of time, that people truly do need people. So getting into the word for today, the message of the 23rd Psalm really does get better, richer, maybe, every time we take a deeper dive into it. It reveals more to us about the truth of the Lord being our shepherd than we ever could have perceived by just glancing over those lines. We, through the past episodes, have met the Lord, who is Yahweh, and we've been informed He is our shepherd. And I want to stop there. I know I commonly do, and say He's our shepherd. He's the guide to our life. The Lord, who is the maker of heaven and earth and owns cattle on a thousand hills, that same Lord is our shepherd, leading us and guiding every move that we make if we will let Him. When we realize, when we understand that the Lord, who knows the complete story of our life and the complete story of this world, is our shepherd, we are sure to not be in want. There's no way you cannot have a smile on your face, some peace come into your heart, rest into your soul and body, and you realize that we are sure to live and in our flesh see God. We've come to note that when we completely depend on God, when we allow Him to lead us as we follow, there are results too many to list. We've heard, seemingly as the one thread you can pull at the beginning of this psalm, and it buckles at the very last line, is the Lord is our shepherd. That phrase tells us that we have the one who said Himself, I am the way, leading us. So we cannot ever be lost, but we'll surely end up with our Father in heaven. But the one thing we must note, the key to this whole thing, is the Lord leading us is totally dependent upon trust. I think I've said it every episode, but we must trust in the Lord with all our heart. We must let Him take us out of us to get Him into us, so we will constantly depend on Him and be likened unto Him. Friends, The Lord is trying to get to us a message of dependence. We have to give into the Lord completely. We have to allow our life to be formed by God, for the pleasure of God, and for the namesake of God. We have to give it completely to Him, abandoning ourselves, crucifying ourselves, and being able to say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me for His namesake. Us being a completely empty vessel for God that He can fill up with Himself and lead us to Himself. And the life that we now live in the flesh, we live by faith, for we're saved by faith, and we live by that faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. When we truly buy into this, we will realize He has put a part of Himself in us. He has deposited an investment in us, and He's pulling us and leading us to Him as He intends on not one part of this kingdom to perish. He's working in us to get us to Him for His good pleasure. Listen to this. Scripture says, "For it is God which worketh in you, to both will and to do of His good pleasure." Now, it's fair to say, I think we can understand, for it is God which worketh in us. And we commonly accept that He is working in us, that He's making us something that we couldn't become ourselves. We have covered in the past that our righteousness is established in His righteousness, and that's something that we could not ever attain by our own actions. But the part I want to focus on is He works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's all for His namesake. Friend, God is at work in us as we walk this path of righteousness. We've covered what paths of righteousness is, but we have to realize God is working in us for His good pleasure as we walk down them. I heard a minister say one time, He did not just save us, He is saving us, and He's saving us for His namesake, to be unto His name joy. Initial salvation did not perfect us. It started us on the journey to perfection. It set our path straight, but now we've got to walk in the Lord. And He's at work with us first to will. That means God will have spent our entire life changing our will to be in alignment with His will so we can get closer to Him and He may be glorified. See, we like the scripture. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And we use it, as we have just said a few moments ago, that all things are working for our good, that they work in us, that God is working in us to make us better. And that's true. But the thing is our good will never be outside or not according to His purpose. Remember, all of this is done so we can get closer to Him and He may be glorified. It's all done for our good, but for His purpose and His pleasure. His counsel is the only thing that will stand. His word is the only thing that will not pass away. All things in our life work out for our good in accordance to His purpose. Which, if you think about it, if it goes against His will, if it's not in the will of God, is it really for our good or just for our want. All things, my friends, all things are about His way, for His glory, and for His name's sake. Your will, our will, our fleshly will, our fleshly wants, have been an obstinate deterrent to the full flowing power of the Holy Ghost in our life. And God is working to put His will inside of us so we follow after His righteousness, not trusting in ourselves, but trusting in Him. And we become like Him, ready to live with Him and to be unto Him a name of praise and honor and power. It's all for our good, but for His name's sake. It's all about walking down these paths of righteousness for His name's sake. David made sure to put that in the last part, so it all pointed back to Him. And second, He's working in you to do of His good pleasure. It's only for our good if it fulfills His good pleasure. This is how we walk in righteousness. Our path of righteousness is for His namesake. If it doesn't point back to Him, we're not truly on paths of righteousness being led by Him. At best, we're on our own path, and Paul, I'm reminding you, said that that is not being submitted to God, but submitting to ourselves, and we know the ways of a man is death. I've read to you many times now, all things, including us, were created for His pleasure, not ours. We were created for the good pleasure of the Lord. And we must simply be thankful that in His good pleasure and in His will is our salvation and redemption. Hear David as he wrote, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We go where He leads us, and we do as He has said." Here's the idea of being sheep in His pasture, allowing Him to will and to do in our life for His good pleasure. He doesn't want us to do what we want to do, remembering our way as a way of death. He's working inside of you to get you out of you so He can do His good pleasure in you, and that is to bring you to Him and for His name to be glorified. That's why it is threaded through Scripture, the theme, praise the Lord. Praise, O ye the servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. This was a writing of David, and he is insinuating to us that we praise His name and give Him all the glory and honor and power because He gives us space in the counsel of His own mind and of His good pleasure. That's deep. I'm going to say that again. We praise Him because He gives us space in His counsel, and He includes us in His good pleasure. He lets us, and in fact wants us, to be part of His everlasting kingdom. He doesn't have to. He could have formed it so that we were completely irrelevant to His plan, that we were just left out here grappling in the dust of humanity. But instead, He wants us to be a part of it. And in fact, He has made it so that we're a vital plan of it. And for that, we can spend eternity praising Him. That His name, the very righteous, holy, matchless name of Jesus Christ, includes salvation and righteousness for every human being that has ever lived. That is why it is said, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring. In the name and the majesty of the name of Jesus, we live. In the name of our Lord and the power it brings, we move. And we have our being. If it wasn't for the power of his word and the power of his name, we would not even exist. We are his offspring. Our entire life, the entire cosmos, everything that he has ever created is orchestrated and determined by his will and his good pleasure. It's all for his name's sake. For he said, I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. He leads us down the paths of righteousness, but it's for his namesake and for his good pleasure. He is God, and he has declared the very end of all things back to the beginning, and he stood in ancient times and declared all things that have been done and that will be done, assuring that it is only his counsel that will be done, and all things will be done only for his good pleasure, only to bring glory to his name. Even our initial salvation is for his name. This book was written, John said, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Our salvation comes through his name, for his name is the only name given among men whereby we must be saved. And in those ending benedictions found in Revelation that we will sing in the ages to come, one which we will proclaim says, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. We will ascribe our salvation. We will credit our eternity in heaven and our salvation while on this earth, both now and forever, to the Lord. And even New Jerusalem, the very city, that place I've told you about that John saw, where the redeemed will dwell, shall be to him a name of joy and praise and honor before all the nations of the world. I'm telling you, our salvation, our new city and new heaven and earth will all be ascribed unto the name of Jesus. It's all done for his name's sake. Our salvation is for his name's sake. Our righteousness is for his name's sake. Do you see how all of this is true? Nothing we do or are led in, unless we lead ourselves to destruction, is for our name's sake or vainglory. And it certainly does not add to or take away from God. We do not add to God. God adds everything to us. We are to praise him for simply the breath that we breathe. And I'll come to that in a minute. Eliphaz, who was one of Job's friends, I guess you could call him, thundered to us. Can a man be profitable unto God as he that is wise may be profitable unto himself? Our wisdom comes from God. I've told us many times we must ask for wisdom to be on this trip. Our wisdom comes from God and is so that we can follow his path. He gives us wisdom so we can get to him. So none of our wisdom is our own that we might impress God. Is it any pleasure to the Almighty that thou art righteous? Or is it gain to him that thou makest thy ways perfect? our righteousness is of God. He commended his love towards us that we might be made in the righteousness of God. So all our righteousness and sanctification, even if done in God, adds nothing to him. We don't impress the one who made us righteous with our righteousness. It's all something for us to praise God for and be thankful for and magnify his name. When we're established in righteousness, and it said that we are his workmanship made unto good works, for this is the lifestyle that God has chosen. Do you remember that? Jesus Christ himself said, we must do our good works that men might see them and glorify our Father in heaven. When we're being made in the righteousness of God and we are following the law of the Lord, us doing so is not for us to get credit and to be seen of other people for our sake. It's so that we and those around us might turn and glorify our Father through heaven, our Father which is in heaven. If you've ever doubted that it is God and God alone who is the provider and single originator of all things, that it is he who has established us in righteousness and who will get the crown for all of this, and it is all for his name and good pleasure, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Let me give you a little snapshot of scripture that might display that. Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis 2 and 7. And the Lord God formed man. His name deserves to be lifted up simply because we are formed by the hands of God. We would not exist if it wasn't for the loving kindness and tender mercies of the Lord. God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Every time we breathe, it is praise to God because it is his breath that we breathe. So in a concert of simple breath, in just a simple sigh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Every time we breathe, every time we wake up in the morning, every time we take our initial breath on a new day, we are exalting his name because it is for his name's sake that we even breathe. Our very breath comes from the Lord, who is the maker of heaven and earth. Deuteronomy 32, the Lord himself proclaims, see now that I am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Death, life, wounds, healings are all from God. When we attribute our death, our hurts, our healings, to ourselves or even to other people, and God forbid, ever to the enemy, we simply err. We just do. He said, furthermore, there is not anything that can deliver out of my hand. Anything that happens in this world, in that world, and in the devil's world is about God, of God, and for God. Nothing can be delivered out of God's hand. And the old song said, he's got the whole world in his hand. He's orchestrating it all for his eternal plan and for his pleasure. David even stood out in front of the congregation and said, blessed be thou, the Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. So that means all greatness, all power, all glory, all victory, and all majesty belongs to the Lord. That means no greatness, no power, glory, victory, or majesty that we experience or see is ours. It belongs to the Lord. For all that is in heaven and in earth is thine, David said. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. All that is in heaven and all that is in earth and all the kingdom belongs to him. To him be glory and honor and power. It's all for him and for his glory and honor. It's all for his namesake. Even our soul restoration is so it can be said, look what the Lord has done. There was an old song which said one time, look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. I'm gonna praise his name. Look what the Lord has done. All things on this earth and all things in our personal life, everything from what happens to the stars all the way to what happens in our hearts is done for his namesake that he may be glorified. We may be able to thwart the will of God for our personal life. But nothing can thwart the ultimate will of God. David said this when he said, and he is head above all. God may always be knocking at the door of our hearts and we refuse to answer. We go against his will because it's not his will that any should perish. But nothing will ever surprise God. He will have accounted for all things in this life. Because he is God and there is none else, and only his counsel shall stand, and he will do all his pleasure. Both riches and honor come of thee. David continued, if we have riches and honor, it comes from the Lord and the Lord only. Our education, our dedication, or commitment, or pedigree did not make it happen. It might have helped it happen, but it did not make it happen. It was not the source. It all comes from God and is for his glory. David continued, and thou reignest over all. And David wrote later, the Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. That means we need no other reason to praise God except for the fact that he rules and reigns over the entire universe. We praise him simply for his namesake. That's how, no matter where we find ourselves, we can pause and praise. It's not about us and our situation. It's about him and his position. And in thine hand, David said, is power and might. And in thine hand, it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Therefore, now, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. At the very end of it, it is so clear it is to be praise and honor to his name that it is the only thing mentioned. We praise him simply because his name is worthy. We thank him simply because of his glorious name. All things are of God. Do you understand truly that all things extended from the mind of God and is accomplished by the hand or the word of God? That he orchestrates everything for his will and his good pleasure? Do you realize the devil cannot do anything either in this external environment or in the personal life that we live without the permission of God? Read Job's story if you have a hard time understanding that, Satan had to ask permission to touch Job both times, either pertaining to the destruction of his possessions or the disruption to his health. And the Lord had limitations on Satan at all times. You've heard me say this before a long while ago. We commonly say all hell is breaking loose. Friend, all hell has never and will never break loose. All things, from our paths of righteousness to what Satan is allowed to do in this earth, is for his namesake. The Lord has all things, heaven, earth, and hell, all at the same time, in his hand. There's nothing that can thwart the actual plan of God. God is not a man that he should lie. If he has spoken it, it will come to pass. There is nothing that can thwart the actual plan of God and the eternal plans of the Most High. Because he has it orchestrated that it will be for his pleasure and for his glory, and he will not give his glory to another. Nothing will cause his plan to go awry. Nothing. Death, life, wounds, healings, good rulers, bad politicians, bankruptcies, gas prices. All of it is under the control and in the mind of God and ultimately serves his purpose. You don't believe me? Let me show you something. King Rehoboam sought counsel of the old men of the city. He asked the elders of the city, "How do you advise that I may answer this people?" And they spake unto him, saying, "If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them, and will answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servant forever." But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and he consulted with the young men that were grown up with him. He asked his friends, which stood before him, and he said unto them, "What counsel give ye that we may answer his people who have spoken to me, saying, 'Make the yoke which thy father did put on us lighter'?" And the young men which were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, "Thus shalt thou speak unto the people that spake unto thee, saying, 'Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us.' Thus shalt thou say unto him, 'My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did laid you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions.'" In simple terms, because I know a lot of that language can get confusing. In simple terms, his friends told him to abuse the people instead of serve the people. His friends told King Jeroboam to abuse Judah. "Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people." Watch this. So the king did end up abusing those people. But scripture says, "For the cause," the reason for this, "was from the Lord." It was for his cause, his purpose, and his name that the king might perform his saying, which the Lord spake to Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. The Lord caused the king to abuse the people so the word of the Lord would be fulfilled and his counsel would stand. A evil king was put into power so that the word of the Lord would never return void, and that his counsel would be fulfilled and his pleasure would be done. And we think we control what happens in our government and in our country. We think what happens to us in our personal life, good or bad or indifferent, is really about us. It is all for the plan of God. and we should simply praise and honor and glorify the name of the Lord God Almighty, that we simply get to be a part of His plan. If we live, we live. If we die, we die. But let the name of the Lord be praised. It's all for His name's sake and according to His good pleasure. Sometimes our path of righteousness will put us under the thumb of an evil ruler. Sometimes our path will put us under people we don't like and will make our life a little bit hard. Just ask Joseph, the children of Israel, Moses, Abraham, David. I think every Bible character could attest to this truth. But just trust in the Lord with all your heart, and He will direct your paths. Your path may be to make you righteous after Him, and it may include some road bumps and some hard times and some dark valleys. We'll talk about that next week. But it is above all for His namesake. Christ gave us a wonderful example of this when He prayed for His Father's name to be glorified and then later prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." When He came to this earth and died a sinner's death and went to a devil's hell and came back, it was His path and it was for us. And when the Lord was speaking in John and said, "The hour is come," and then shortly after prayed, "Father, glorify thy name," the Father responded and said, "I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again." The name of the Lord was glorified. It was all about the name. It's always been about the name. This tells us that the entire life and obedience of Jesus Christ was done for the glorification of the name of the Lord. It was all done for His namesake. The whole entirety of Jesus Christ was done so that His name may be exalted and all power in heaven and earth may be given unto that name. And because it was so, because the Lord Jesus Christ did all He did for the name and by the name, nothing He did was in vain. See, the Spirit of God was working in His flesh too, to will and to do of His good pleasure. Jesus Christ was so bound to the will of God and to the mind of God in His life that He is called in Philippians a servant. The flesh was so yielded to God Almighty because Jesus Christ was fully God and fully man that He would not go any way outside of the will of God. I challenge you to read John 17 if you're interested in that. Jesus, when He prayed that prayer for the glorification of the name of the Father, said in essence, "I'm willing to bear any trials. I will not shrink from any sufferings. Let the name be honored. Let thy character, wisdom, goodness, and plans of mercy be manifested and promoted. Let thy kingdom come and thy will be done." You'll find that in the Lord's prayer, which is something we ought to be praying every day. "Whatever sufferings it may cost me." Thus, Jesus gave us a perfect example of how to live. He showed us that God's glory, glory unto God Almighty, is to be the great end of our conduct, and that we are to seek that, whatever sufferings it may cost us. At the end of our life, it should be said that we saw the kingdom of God come and expand, and that our life glorified the name of the Father, and at the end of all things, the Lord was exalted. We should be able to say, "I may never journey far on the face of this earth. And when I pass, My wealth may be just a few small pennies worth, and this old name that I go by may not be mentioned by great kings, but all is well if they remember these things. When they looked at me, they beheld him. When I spoke, they could hear him. When I walked, my every footstep led them all to Calvary. When someone speaks his name, let them recall they foresaw him in me. Friend, this is the peak of those paths of righteousness we talked about. It's so that all people see Christ in us. It's so that in our daily life, the Lord is lifted up that he might draw all men unto him. It's so that men see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. I know I've spoken a lot of us knowing his word and doing his word, and these being the ingredients of the paths of righteousness. And it is true, we cannot forsake these because obedience is how we express our love to Christ. But where I want to bring us to is realizing that walking in the paths of righteousness is when we walk for his namesake, allowing God to fashion us into his image so that the whole world may see and he may be glorified. When we truly do this and we live such that men see Jesus in us and Jesus sees his reflection in us, we can be confident that we are truly on the path of righteousness, because the paths of righteousness will always be for his namesake. David said he leads us for his namesake. That means we're to follow Christ's example, realizing our entire life and obedience is to be lived for the glorification of the name of the Lord. It's our goal that they say, even after we're gone, I saw Jesus in that person. Because at that point, our path of righteousness was never for our name, but it was always that his might be remembered. Living for God, my friends, walking on a path of righteousness, living a life pleasing, holy, and acceptable unto God, is when we care not if anyone knows our name, as long as they know his. And this brings me to my last point. Why, for his name's sake, does God have an ego problem? No, quite the opposite. Scripture tells us God has highly exalted Christ and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. See, the Lord knows this would happen. And he wills, there's that will again, he wills that none should perish, but all should come to the knowledge of Christ, willingly bowing before him, ready to be received in the last day, being counted as an overcomer in Revelation and joining that numberless multitude singing salvation unto our God. But us living for Christ's sake, reflecting his name that all men might come to know him, is an integral part of that plan. Us knowing that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. This is the best message. That old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Us knowing this, and that all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing our trespasses unto us, and hath committed us to the word of reconciliation. Us being saints of God, knowing that we are a new creature, that he's made all things new, that God was in Christ reconciling the world, and that we are all willed and predestined to be reconciled unto him. Knowing this is the best message and the only saving message that there is under the sun, we are to be ambassadors for Christ and for Christ's name's sake. We are to live as a testimony to the gospel in the name of Christ, proclaiming, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." We are to proclaim this to the entire world. Friend, to truly walk in the paths of righteousness includes not just fulfilling the whole law of Christ, being that of the better covenant, and obeying his word through faith, but walking in the paths of righteousness is to live and walk the paths of righteousness for his namesake. And living it for his namesake, being an ambassador, means being an ambassador for Christ, working in that mission to reconcile all people unto God. It's living in such a way that all people might recall seeing Jesus in us, and that we might show them the way to Calvary, that they may be established in righteousness themselves, being reconciled unto Christ, and becoming a part of this great kingdom, that the name of the Lord might be glorified. For remember, the Great Commission is to go forth and make disciples in his name. And this Great Commission is the foundation of the church age. Obedience, which we've talked about before, obedience to this commandment is of utmost importance. And obedience to this one requires that we walk on the paths of righteousness for his namesake, being ambassadors for Christ, aiding in reconciling the world unto God, lifting Jesus Christ up that all men may be drawn unto him. Paths of righteousness, my friends, leads to soul restoration and soul salvation. I hope this helped you today. I hope you felt the burden to go forth, make disciples, live righteously and uprightly before God, that it might be for his name's sake, that he might be lifted up and glorified, so that all men would be drawn unto him. I hope you're blessed. Have peace and joy. My time is running out, so I'm going to let you go. I'm excited about next week. This theme of his name is going to continue, because the reason I had such a hard time getting the message together this week is because the theme of his name is all through Scripture. It's from the very first page to the very last one. It's there. And I hope you'll take some time and explore that. If you have a home church, I pray you and your church are blessed this week. And if you don't, we would love to see you at Restoration Apostolic Church, 110 Moores Grove Road, Winterville, Georgia. And if you don't have a home church and you don't live near here, reach out to me. I would be glad to help you find a church. And until next time, thank you and be blessed.